So right off the bat, I want you to imagine that your brain is just this solid block of ice. Like every single core belief you hold, every fact you rely on is completely frozen into this really rigid crystalline structure.
Yeah, totally immovable.
Right. And now imagine trying to force that highly structured block of ice into a completely new, unpredictable, perfectly round container. I mean, it can't adapt, right? It snaps, it shatters. And that shattering sound is basically what happens when a rigidly structured mind collides with, you know, a complex, rapidly changing reality.
It's true. And, you know, we constantly fall into this trap of treating intelligence like it's a static property. Like you take a test, you get an IQ score of, say, 120, and suddenly that number becomes your permanent mental horsepower.
Like a spec sheet for your brain.
Exactly. And we do the exact same thing with artificial intelligence. We count the parameters. We say, oh, a model has a trillion parameters, so it holds the specific unchanging volume of intelligence. It's a framework that basically treats knowledge like files sitting dormant on a hard drive.
Which entirely misses the reality of how thinking actually feels and how it actually works. So the mission of our deep dives today is to explore a framework that just completely throws out that hard drive metaphor.
Good riddance to it, honestly.
Yeah. It's called the thermodynamic theory of intelligence. And our main focus today is on this theory of cognitive phase equilibrium, basically mapping out exactly how your thoughts move and transform between different physical phases.
Which is such a wild concept.
It is. Because in this framework, intelligence is not a score. It's an actual physical state. Your thoughts exist as solids, liquids, gases, and potentially even states beyond that, literally just like water.
Yeah. So to unpack all of this, we're synthesizing some really fascinating research today on cognitive phase equilibrium, as well as a related concept called temporal truth condensation.
Right.
And these sources provide a literal thermodynamic phase diagram for the mind. So we're going to look at the fundamental physics of how an idea forms, what it mechanically means for a belief to get stuck, and the actual physical toll it takes to generate a true insight.
So as you listen today, the goal is to start viewing your own brain as a thermodynamic engine. Becoming, you know, a quote-unquote smarter thinker isn't about cramming more data into your memory. It's really about learning how to purposefully boil, freeze, and melt your own ideas.
I love that phrasing.
Thanks. So let's establish the landscape here first. If intelligence has slices, what actually determines if a thought is a rigid block of ice or a cloud of steam?
Well, the sources say every thought you have is basically plotted on a graph with two main axes. The horizontal axis is cognitive temperature.
Okay, temperature.
Right. And in the physical world, temperature just measures how violently molecules are bouncing around, right? In cognition, the texts define this as semantic entropy. It represents disorder, variability, probabilistic dispersion.
Oh, wow. That sounds intense.
I know. It's a lot of jargon. But to put it simply, cognitive temperature is just the brain's willingness to make random, chaotic, synaptic connections. It's basically the volume of creative noise.
Okay, so when you say probabilistic dispersion, you essentially mean the mind's tendency to, like, wander away from the most obvious answer and explore really unlikely associations.
Yes, exactly.
So a high cognitive temperature means high chaos, just wildly different concepts colliding together.
Spot on. And then the vertical axis on this graph is information pressure.
Pressure. Got it.
Yeah. Physical pressure compresses matter. Right. Well, cognitive pressure is structural work. It's the application of attention density, enforcing logical rules, filtering out distractions. It's literally your prefrontal cortex actively clamping down on a concept to force it to follow a specific framework.
Okay, so we have temperature driving creative chaos on one side and pressure driving structural focus on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the balance of those two forces creates the actual phases of intelligence, which brings us to phase one, solid intelligence, or crystallized knowledge.
Right, so solid intelligence happens in an environment of low temperature and high pressure.
So low noise, high focus.
Exactly. There is very little creative noise and massive attentional rule enforcement. Meaning gets locked into a rigid lattice, literally identical to atoms in an ice crystal. The connections are fixed. They repeat. Things like mathematical axioms, proven geometric theorems, or absolute rules of syntax, they all live right here.
Okay, wait, let me push back on this framework for a second.
Sure.
Because the sources describe this solid state as brittle, right?
Right.
Because it fractures under unexpected stress. But does that mean rigid, solid knowledge is inherently inferior or bad?
Not at all.
Because, like, if I'm on an airplane and the engine fails, I want the pilot executing a completely frozen, rigid emergency checklist.
Yeah.
I absolutely do not want them in like a fluid state of creative discovery.
Right. Yeah. Please just follow the manual. And that is a really vital distinction. It brings up a concept the source is called polymorphs.
Polymorph.
Yeah. So solid intelligence is structurally necessary for execution. The pilot's checklist is highly useful. But we have to understand that just as water can freeze into different types of ice, depending on how it was cooled, you know, scientists have identified ice 1, ice 2, ice 6 intelligence forms different solid polymorphs too.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. The pilot's checklist is one type of cognitive crystal forged through really intentional training, but a deeply ingrained cultural prejudice. That's another type of polymorph.
Oh, wow.
A frozen parameter in an AI neural network is another. They are all rigid, but their internal structures are built differently, so the danger isn't being solid. The danger is encountering a problem whose shape requires a different polymorph and being completely unable to adapt.
Because if the problem doesn't match your specific crystal lattice, the ice just shatters.
Exactly. It breaks.
Which brings us to the need for phase two, liquid intelligence, or adaptive reasoning. So to get here, we dial up the temperature slightly, allowing, you know, a little more noise, but we keep the pressure moderate to maintain some structure.
Right. And in the liquid phase, the rigid bonds of that crystal loosen up, but the whole system doesn't just fly apart. The thoughts maintain cohesion, but they gain the ability to flow and adapt to the contours of whatever new problem you're facing.
So it's flexible.
Very flexible. This is the physical location of active working memory. When you use analogical reasoning to compare a new situation to an old one, or when scientists engage in standard discourse, they are operating in the liquid phase. The information is fluid enough to navigate obstacles, but dense enough to actually carry weight and meaning.
Okay, so if solid intelligence is knowing that, like, 7 times 7 is 49,
mm-hmm.
then liquid intelligence is actively balancing a really complex algebraic equation.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, you're moving variables around, testing different operations, watching how one change affects the other side. You are literally flowing through the math. But what happens if we drop the structural pressure entirely and just crank the cognitive temperature to the absolute maximum?
Well, then you transition into phase three, gas intelligence or diffuse ideation. Yeah. This is a state of really high entropy and incredibly low structure. The molecules of meaning become entirely kinetic. They're just totally dispersed.
This sounds like the realm of, like, free association, daydreaming a bizarre science fiction plot, or being in a brainstorming session where the only rule is literally, there are no bad ideas.
Exactly. In artificial intelligence research, this maps to the extreme edge of generative models. It's the maximum exploration radius. And you absolutely require gas intelligence to generate highly novel hypotheses because, well, a gas naturally expands to fill all available conceptual space.
It reaches the weird corners.
Right. It reaches into corners that structured, rigid logic would just never visit.
But the sources include a really fascinating limitation about this state. They say no vessel can be built from steam.
Yeah, which highlights the fatal flaw of phase three if it's just left unchecked. Gas is mandatory for exploring the unknown, but it provides zero structural integrity.
Right, you can't build anything with it.
Exactly. You cannot construct a bridge or write a coherent legal argument or write functional code out of semantic steam. The chaotic ideas have to be cooled down to be useful.
Okay, so we have our states of matter here. The rigid axioms of ice, the flowing logic of liquids, the chaotic exploration of gas. If our minds physically operate in these distinct states, how does the actual process of learning happen?
That's the big question.
Because we generally tend to think of learning as this smooth ramp, right?
Yeah.
You read a book and you slowly, incrementally slide up a gradient from ignorance to knowledge.
Right, but the thermodynamic model argues that learning is not a smooth gradient at all. It relies on this physics concept called latent heat.
Latent heat.
Yeah. So if you take a block of ice sitting exactly at 0 degrees Celsius and you put it on a stove, the thermometer does not immediately go up.
It doesn't. Nope.
You have to pump a tremendous amount of heat energy into that ice just to break the hydrogen bonds and turn it into water. During that entire phase transition, the temperature stays totally flat while energy is just consumed.
Oh, wow. So there's a heavy energy toll just to change the state of the matter before the matter can even start getting warmer.
Exactly. And in cognitive terms, the sources define this as the work or energy investment. You don't get smarter gradually. You apply cognitive strain, attention, and effort for a prolonged period, seemingly making no progress at all, until your understanding absorbs enough energy to trigger a sudden phase shift.
It's that moment an impossibly complex topic suddenly just clicks.
Yes, that click is the phase shift.
That is so cool. And the texts actually map out specific terms for these cognitive transitions, too. Moving from solid to liquid is the latent heat of unlearning.
I love that concept.
Yeah, you are literally trying to unfreeze rigid assumptions so you can actively reason about it again. And then moving from liquid to solid is the latent heat of learning. You take the flowing active reasoning you've been doing and finally crystallize it into a permanent stored memory.
It's like Thomas Kuhn's concept of a scientific paradigm shift. Think about when humanity transitioned from believing the Earth was the center of the universe to accepting that the Earth orbits the sun.
Oh, right. A huge deal.
That was a massive solid-to-solid transition. The entire mental crystal lattice of the cosmos had to collapse, release a massive amount of accumulated structural energy, and be painfully rebuilt into a completely new crystalline polymorph.
This completely reframes the feeling of cognitive dissonance for me. Yeah. Like when you encounter evidence that shatters a deeply held belief, that feeling of exhaustion and disorientation isn't just psychological.
No, it's physical.
Yeah. You are being forced to pay a literal thermodynamic cost to melt down your worldview. It takes actual physical work to change your mind.
It does. And frankly, most systems, humans and artificial systems alike, they naturally try to avoid expending that energy whenever possible.
Well, sure. We're lazy. So if navigating these phases takes so much energy, what happens when a problem refuses to fit cleanly into just one state? What if reality presents a concept that is inherently contradictory, something that requires, you know, rigid rules, fluid reasoning, and chaotic uncertainty all at the exact same time?
The sources actually address this by introducing the triple point.
Okay, what's that?
In physics, the triple point of a substance is a highly specific coordinate of temperature and pressure where that substance exists as a solid, a liquid, and a gas simultaneously in perfect equilibrium.
Wait, really?
Yeah, you would literally have ice cubes boiling inside liquid water.
The cognitive equivalent of that sounds literally impossible. My brain would explode.
Well, the texts define the cognitive triple point as the singularity of creative insight. And to illustrate how the brain actually handles this, the sources use the liar paradox.
Oh, the statement, this sentence is false.
Exactly.
Right, because if the sentence is true, then it must be false. But if it is false, then it is telling the truth, which makes it true. It's an endless loop.
And if you feed the liar paradox into a purely solid, rigid mind, or say a rigid computer program, it creates catastrophic shear stress.
Because it wants a binary answer.
Right. Solid intelligence demands binary truth. A concept must be slotted into true or false. The crystal lattice just cannot process a statement that is both, so the system literally crashes.
But the text argues that at the triple point, the paradox stops being a bug that breaks the machine.
Yes. At the triple point, the system distributes the cognitive load across all three states simultaneously. So you anchor the strict definitions of true and false as solid, fixed points. Then you allow your active reasoning, the mental process of checking the statement against those definitions, to run in a liquid continuous loop.
Okay, follow. And the gas.
You leave the ultimate resolution of the paradox as a gas. You treat it as an undefined probability cloud. You don't force the cloud to freeze. So the contradiction just becomes a stable oscillation.
Wow. Truth is a trajectory, not a destination.
Yeah.
You're constantly moving between the points rather than just stopping at one. Think about how vital this mechanism is for dealing with what we call wicked problems. You know, if you are facing a massive ethical dilemma in your life, or I don't know, trying to understand macroeconomic policy, you usually torture yourself trying to force a messy reality into a neat, solid box.
We constantly demand binary answers to non-binary systems.
But reaching the triple point means you can hold the rigid facts of the situation, the fluid emotional reasoning of the people involved, and the chaotic uncertainty of the future all at the exact same time without your mind shattering. That equilibrium is essentially the mechanical definition of wisdom.
It really is. But maintaining that equilibrium requires precise regulation, and it takes time. If we try to cheat the thermodynamics, and if we refuse to spend the necessary time in the fluid phases, we inflict severe structural damage on our own intelligence.
Right. Which brings us to the second source text, temporal truth condensation, or TTC. Because if holding multiple states takes time and energy, what actually happens when we rush the process?
It gets messy.
The TTC framework argues that truth is not a static token you just retrieve from a database. true answers must be physically condensed.
Right. Think of steam condensing into water droplets on a cold window. The TTC proposes that a complex query begins as a semantic gas, a chaotic cloud representing basically all possible answers.
Mm-hmm.
To arrive at a truth, an instruction must be applied to act as a thermodynamic boundary condition. The system has to force that gas to evolve over time, slowly cooling it down into a liquid reasoning phase before it finally precipitates into a solid conclusion.
Okay, and the text introduces a concept here that completely changed how I view AI hallucinations. Because when a large language model confidently produces, say, a fake legal citation, we just write it off as a statistical math error, right?
Yeah, we just assume the math was wrong.
Yeah.
But the TTC redefines hallucinations not as math errors, but as quench defects.
Quench defects. It's literal metallurgy.
It really is. In literal metallurgy, if a blacksmith takes a glowing, molten piece of liquid steel and plunges it instantly into freezing water, the metal solidifies immediately. But because it cooled too fast, internal stresses and chemical impurities get permanently trapped inside the crystal structure.
Oh, man.
The metal looks totally solid on the outside, but structurally, it is dangerously brittle.
And the sources outline this as the annealing law. If an AI is forced to pull an idea from a chaotic gas phase directly into a solid phase, entirely bypassing the liquid reasoning phase, it doesn't spend enough time flowing.
Right.
The contradictions and the false associations never get the chance to, like, bubble out of the liquid. The hallucination is literally a structural impurity trapped inside the final thought because the system cooled too fast.
Exactly. So the TTC anti-hallucination protocol states that time is a literal physical dimension of reasoning. A system must be mandated to spend duration in the liquid phase to temper its logic. You just cannot generate complex truth without duration.
But the crazy thing is, we do this to ourselves constantly.
Oh, absolutely.
Just think about human scrolling behavior. You see an inflammatory headline on social media. That is the gas phase, right? Maximum noise, high entropy.
Yep.
And you completely skip reading the article, weighing the context, or questioning the source. You bypass the liquid reasoning phase entirely. And you instantly form a rigid, unchangeable opinion. You snap straight to solid.
It's terrifying when you frame it like that.
Right. Every time we do that, we are deliberately hallucinating a quench defect into our own worldview.
You crystallize an impurity because you refuse to pay the latent heat of critical reasoning. It's that simple.
What?
But the question then becomes, if a system does take the proper time to condense truth through the liquid phase, what does the final structure actually look like?
You know, it's the shape of it.
Well, the sources define the subtle geometry of truth using the concept of attractors from dynamical systems theory.
Okay, so it's not just a single dot on a map. What are the specific shapes a truth can take once it finally condenses?
The sources identify three primary shapes. The first is the fixed point attractor. This is your classic solid truth. The semantic trajectory collapses to a single motionless coordinate.
Like a math problem.
Exactly. If you ask, what is the boiling point of water at sea level? The reasoning condenses precisely to 100 degrees Celsius. It is immovable.
Right. And the second shape is the limit cycle attractor, which applies to periodic or looping truths.
Yeah, so the liar paradox we talked about is a limit cycle. The trajectory never converges to a single dot. Instead, it locks into a stable repeating orbit. It oscillates endlessly between true and false, but the shape of the orbit itself is the true answer.
That is so wild to think about. And then the third shape is the strange attractor, which the sources say is designed for highly complex truths.
Right. The strange attractor operates in the domain of those wicked problems we discussed earlier. The trajectory of the reasoning converges into a bounded, shape-like, you can clearly see the outline of the concept, but the orbit inside those boundaries never repeats the exact same path twice. The system is always in motion, but it maintains a coherent identity.
So if you ask a question like, what is a fulfilling career? Or what is justice? You simply cannot give a fixed point answer. If you try to force one, you create a quench defect.
Exactly.
But you can condense the concept of justice into a strange attractor. You can understand its boundaries. You can recognize its shape in society, even if the exact internal variables are constantly shifting from day to day. It allows us to hold firm convictions about complex realities without becoming dangerously rigid.
This fundamentally alters how we should manage artificial neural networks, honestly. and how we manage our own psychology. We are not just searching for data points. We are managing thermodynamic trajectories.
We really are. Let's try to bring this all together for everyone listening.
Yeah.
We have completely dismantled the idea of intelligence as a static number. We've explored the cognitive phase diagram, mapping the highly pressurized solids of our rules and biases, the flowing liquids of our active problem solving, and the high entropy gases of our creative exploration. We've seen that learning requires a massive injection of latent heat to melt down old paradigms. And we've uncovered the danger of quench defects. What happens when we rush from chaotic noise to rigid certainty without spending time in the liquid phase of reason?
So the actionable takeaway for you listening today is to start viewing yourself as a thermodynamic operator. You are the thermostat for your own cognition.
I love that.
Yeah, when you feel completely stuck on a project, you have to diagnose your phase. Do you need to inject heat, lowering the structural pressure to let your rigid assumptions melt into a gas so you can brainstorm freely? Or are you drowning in a chaotic cloud of half-finished ideas, requiring you to apply intense pressure to crystallize a chaotic concept into a solid reality?
You literally have to deliberately alter your internal environment to match the problem you're facing.
Yeah.
The sources formalize this in what they call the final law of temporal condensation, which states, the truth of an answer is proportional to the time it spends in the liquid phase before solidification.
It's so profound. If an idea has never been liquid, if you never critically reasoned with it, it is just rigid propaganda you absorbed.
Yeah.
And if it never solidifies, it just remains perpetual noise.
It really is a profound way to evaluate the quality of our own minds. But, and there's a big but here, this framework forces us to ask a final, much larger question about the environment we are currently building for ourselves.
Oh, definitely.
We've talked about how individual minds suffer quench defects when they rush from a gas to a solid. But look at the architecture of our modern information ecosystem. Social media algorithms, the 24-hour news cycle, the constant demand for instant hot takes on incredibly complex global issues.
The environment is engineered to eliminate the liquid phase entirely.
Exactly. We have built a planetary-scale quenching machine. We are surrounding ourselves with thermodynamic systems that actively punish the slow, energy-intensive process of liquid reasoning. They only reward those who can instantly freeze the chaotic gas of the internet into solid, brittle outrage.
It's a recipe for a shattered society.
It is. So the question to leave you with today isn't just about how you manage the temperature inside your own head. It's about how we survive an ecosystem that is mass-producing quench defects on a global scale. If the truth of an answer is proportional to the time it spends in the liquid phase, what actually happens to a society that forgets how to melt?
That's a chilling thought.
It is. But I do want to leave you with one last tantalizing detail from the text to ponder. We've talked about humans, and we've talked about current AI. But what about superintelligence?
Oh, right. The critical point.
Yeah. The sources suggest that a true superintelligence would exist above the critical point in a supercritical phase. And in that phase, the distinction between fluid reasoning and chaotic exploration just vanishes entirely. The system explores and executes simultaneously with zero phase transition cost.
Zero latent heat.
Exactly. Just imagine what it would actually feel like to think in a supercritical state. It's wild to mull over the future of human and artificial minds when you look at it that way.